identical to Caitlin's. Same floor plan, same chrome appliances, but the decor is so different. It's almost disorienting. The room is lit only by dim floor lamps and a jumble of hanging Christmas lights. There's a giant red and purple batik tapestry draped across one wall and woven throw pillows on every surface. I'm pretty sure there's no TV. There are only 8 or 9 people here besides us, packed onto the couch and around the kitchen table. A guy with a beard plays guitar while 2 girls sing along in harmony. We meet Ava, who is stop you in your tracks gorgeous, tall, sort of androgynous, with light brown skin and closely cropped hair. Caitlin rests a hand on each of our shoulders and asks if we want drinks. Abby says yes, and I guess that sort of bugs me. Sometimes I think I'm the only person in the world who doesn't drink. Oh, Abby, I love your little boots, Caitlin says, returning moments later with a plastic cup. We all settle and cross-legged on the floor. Abby's wearing the ankle boots she bought yesterday and a short, patterned skirt, and the effect is disarming. She's just so fucking wholesome. It almost pisses me off. Yo, Abby pokes me. Why are you looking at me like that? Like what? Holy fuck. My cheeks are burning. Like you want to kill me? For a moment, I'm speechless. I've never been so grateful for my resting bitch face. Ever. Ava sinks down beside me. So, Caitlin says you're a drummer. Kind of. Kind of? Abby shoves me lightly. She's an amazing drummer. Like, amazing. Huh, Ava says, turning to the guitarist on the couch. Tom, Caitlin's friend is a drummer. No way, says the bearded guy. Way, Ava says. Then they turn back to me. So, I don't know if Kate mentioned this, but they're going to need a new drummer after I graduate. You're going to be a freshman, right? I nod. Interesting, says Ava. Meanwhile, Tom and the harmonizing girls have wandered over. The girls introduce themselves as Victoria and Notica, and they hug me like it's nothing. Like it's a handshake. They hug Abby, too. It's as if someone unhooked my brain from my body. I'm here, but I'm not here. Smiling like it's a reflex. Nodding without knowing why. No pressure, though, Notica says. I look up with a start and realize everyone's looking at me. Have you ever used an e-kit before? Asks Ava. Took some getting used to, but now I'm a convert. Nick's kit is electric, right? Abby says. I nod slowly. Well, if you're up for it, we'd love to hear you play. Tom says. Right now? Sure. Okay. I feel dazed. Like, holy shit. I'm at a college party full of gorgeous people, and I think I've just been invited to try out for a band. Let me dig out my headphones, says Ava. 5 minutes later, I'm perched on a drum stool in Ava's bedroom, while Abby tucks into the desk chair, arms wrapped around her knees. Meanwhile, Ava, Notica, Tom, and Victoria sprawl out on the bed. My heart thuds against my ribcage. I don't know why I even bother drumming. I could just stick a microphone next to my chest. I adjust Ava's headphones over my ears and give a few experimental taps on the snare. Electronic kits always throw me for a second. Not to mention the fact that I'm being watched by a bunch of actual musicians in an actual college band. And Abby. I'm just so aware of her sometimes. But this is drumming, and I know drumming. If I could kick ass in the school talent show 2 years in a row, I can kick ass now. It's actually easier with headphones. They make me feel like my rhythms are a secret, like they live between my ears only. Even though I know that's not true. The sound's not deafening, like with an acoustic kit, but you can hear every thwack and tap on the pad. I just need to stop overthinking it. I have to get in the zone. I have to find the pulse of the song and fall into it. I let my eyes drift shut as my sticks find the pads. I'll pretend I'm just messing around in Nick's basement. I don't even have to play a real song, just wherever my hands take me. When I open my eyes, Tom's nodding along, tapping the pads of his fingers together like guitar frets. The way Nick does. Notica's eyes are closed, and I catch Ava mouthing to Victoria. Wow. I grin, cheeks burning, and Abby's grinning too. I wouldn't say Abby's drunk, but she's bright-eyed and smiley. She leans against me all the way back to Caitlin's apartment. That was amazing, she says. Aren't you glad we went? Yeah, I admit. You did great. I was like, damn, this girl is drumming for these college kids like it's nothing. I laugh. Okay. You're going to call them, right? You're going to be their drummer, and I'm going to go to all your shows, and when you become famous, I'm going to tell everyone I know you. She sinks down on the couch and tugs off her boots. Do you think you'll use a stage name? I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. I take my own boots off and tuck into the opposite corner of the couch. Funny how we've been here less than 2 days, but we've already claimed our couch territories. Me on the left, Abby on the right. An ocean of empty space in between us. She leans back, sighing happily. See, this is why I'm so glad to be single. Because I can just hang out with you and not have to run upstairs to call my boyfriend. She stretches her foot out to tap it against mine. I can just be in the moment. I love this. Well, good. She glances at me sidelong. But you have to stop being so talented. I can't handle it. I'm sorry. She smiles. Don't apologize. My heart thuds softly. She's barely a hand's width away from me. Actually, you should apologize. I laugh nervously. Why? For making me question things. I look at her. Question what? Things. I don't get it. Let's just say I really enjoyed watching you play. She gives the tiniest smile. Watching me play made you question things? Yes. Her eyes slick downward. So, can I ask you something? And just like that, my heart is racing. Something just shifted. I can't explain it, but I can feel it. Okay. I want to know who you like. Trick question. I hate everyone. She laughs. Okay, then who do you hate the least? I don't want to answer that. The corners of her mouth tug up. Then you have to big dare. I didn't realize we were playing truth or dare. Of course we are. She tucks her legs up and turns to face me, looking like she's about to burst out laughing. But she doesn't. My breath hitches. I dare you to kiss me, she says. 20. My whole brain short circuits. I just stare at her, speechless. If you want to, she adds, pressing her lips together. Do you want to? She nods, smiling faintly. Really? Aren't you curious? I don't know. My heart won't stop skittering. I've never kissed anyone before. I've spent so many hours worrying about that. Like, I'm going to mess this up. I know I will. I'll be sloppy or wet or too passive or too eager. Abby laughs under her breath. Leah, relax. I am. I'm just... All of a sudden, her lips are on mine. And I freeze. Because... Holy shit. This is real. I'm kissing a person, and that person is Abby. It doesn't compute. But her fingers graze my jawline, her thumb on my chin. A million details hit me at once. The way our knees touch, the way my lips move against hers. She tastes like fruit punch and vodka. I can't believe this is happening. My hands find her cheeks and... God, what the fuck am I doing? I don't like Abby. I can't like Abby, and I definitely can't kiss Abby. I don't even want to kiss her. Okay, maybe I used to want to, but that was barely anything. A month out of my life, ages and ages ago. It's buried. It's done. And I can't. Wow. My heart won't stop pounding. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. Because maybe it wasn't ages ago. Maybe it's now. Maybe it's always. It's like a lamp flickering on inside my chest. In my throat, below my stomach. I don't know how to explain this. I don't think my brain's working. Abby pulls back from the kiss, sinking into the couch cushions. She seems flustered, almost breathless. For a moment, we just stare at each other. Then she laughs and says, "We're pretty good at this for two straight girls." "I'm not straight." She freezes. "Wait, really?" The air leaks from my lungs. "Leah." Abby reaches for my hand, but I jerk it away. "Don't." "Sorry," she says quietly, eyes sliding shut. I had no idea. Yeah, well, I shrug. Like it's whatever. Like I could care less. Except suddenly, I'm so angry, I'm shaking. God, Abby, how dense are you? Seriously. I draw a picture where we're practically on top of each other, and it didn't occur to you that maybe, just maybe, I might actually like you? She shakes her head. I didn't. And then you're like, oh, I have a secret. I'm so nervous. How was I supposed to interpret that? But it's not like it matters because, ta-da, here's Nick. And now you're flirting with him, and now you're dating him. And then the minute you're single, there you are, hardcore flirting with me again. But of course, it doesn't mean anything because you're so fucking hetero. And then you kiss me? My voice breaks. That was my first kiss, Abby. Her face crumbles. I'm sorry. I don't care. I squeeze my eyes shut. I don't even care. Just don't fuck with my head. Please. I didn't mean to. Then why did you just kiss me? Because I wanted to, she says. And I wanted to at Morgan's house. My lungs empty out in a single fierce whoosh. What? That's the secret. That's it. I wanted to kiss you, but I was scared. Her voice catches. And I tried to tell you a million times, but I couldn't. Why not? Because, Leah, you're terrifying. God, half the time I think you hate me. I mean, I can't even look at her. It's like I've been put on lockdown. Abby's close to tears. I just feel so... I don't know what to do. My cousin Cassie was just talking about how shitty and selfish it is for straight girls to flirt with lesbians because they're curious or bored, or because they just broke up with their boyfriends. Or that. Abby winces. But I thought you were straight. I swear to God. So you kissed me? That makes no sense. I mean, I thought we were two straight girls experimenting. My heart twists. Well, we're not. I know. She sniffs. I'm so sorry. I don't want to be the straight girl using you. But then it's like, maybe I'm not actually straight. I don't know. I've had crushes before, but I've never... Crushes on girls? Abby shrugs. So what, now you think you're bi? You make me think about it. My heart skids to a stop. Abby covers her face with both hands. I don't know. It's just... She takes a deep breath. You want to hear about my crushes? You want to know why I kept in touch with Caitlin? My heart sinks. Not really. Leah, it's not... God, she's straight, okay? I had a boyfriend, and she has a boyfriend, and she's straight, and I'm fucking this up. I'm just... She exhales. I don't like Caitlin, okay? I barely know her. Whatever. She's pretty. So are you, Abby whispers. I can't help but sneak a glance at her. She's hugging her knees, eyelashes thick with tears. And I want to be friends. Or something. I don't know. I just hate this. She swipes her fingers across her eyes, and my brain just unravels. I can't deal with this girl. I can't. She makes me want to shove my hand into my chest and rip my own heart out. Abby spends half the night trying to talk me out of sleeping on the couch. I already feel like a jerk, she says. Seriously, take the bed. Oh my God. I drag a pillow and blanket out to the living room. It's fine, okay? Just stop. I'm going to sleep in the chair. I roll my eyes. That's your choice. And I guess we're both that stubborn, because the bed stays empty all night. I wake up to find Abby in Caitlin's IKEA chair. Head tilted slightly sideways, like she's sleeping on a plane. For a moment, I just watch her. Maybe that makes me a creepy little vampire, but I can't help it. She's hugging a pillow, her hands clasped against it, and it rises and falls with her chest. Her lips are softly parted. I have this sudden mental image of her as a kid, which gives me this tug in my gut that I can't quite explain. It's not attraction, because obviously I'm not attracted to kids. It's more like wistfulness. Just this weird little wish that I could have known her then. She wakes up pretty soon after that, and we pack our stuff in silence. I can barely breathe. I feel so tense and awkward. I have this feeling that my skin would crackle if you touched it. I don't know how we'll survive the trip home. Caitlin comes over around 10 to get her key and say goodbye, and when I look at her, all I can think about is what Abby said last night. You want to know why I kept in touch with Caitlin? But I can't be jealous of Caitlin. I'm not that big of an asshole. This girl gave me an apartment and a parking pass, and possibly a new band. I'm so excited we'll get to hang out next year, she says, hugging us both. My stomach flips a little. It still catches me off guard that this isn't some random anomaly of a weekend. This is a preview of real life. These places, these people, this strange shot of freedom. We arrive at Abby's car, and Caitlin hugs us each again. Stay in touch, okay? She helps us load our bags and leaves, and I'm alone with Abby all over again. I hover nervously near the trunk. Do you want me to drive? Oh, don't worry about it. But then she hesitates. Unless you want to, I mean. I don't care. She looks at me. Abby, I really don't care. She nods slowly. Okay. She smiles slightly. I'll drive. You relax. I settle into the passenger seat and queue up my playlist while Abby merges onto the highway. Definitely the moody playlist this time. Nick Drake and Driftwood Scarecrow and Sufjan Stevens. For almost 20 minutes, neither of us says a single word. Abby's clearly in agony. She keeps opening and closing her mouth, eyes flicking toward me. I don't think Abby Suso is capable of silence. Sure enough, she breaks it before we're even out of Watkinsville. So, do you think you'll try out for the band? Probably not. Really? Her brow furrows. Why not? Because I'm a mediocre drummer. Are you serious? I shrug. I don't even own a drum kit. So you'll get one. I can't afford one. Abby squeezes the steering wheel. How much are they? I don't know. A couple $100? Okay, so maybe you could get a job? Immediately she winces. Ugh, that came out sounding really condescending. I don't mean it like that. I shake my head. It's fine. But, yeah, I don't have a car, so. But next year, we'll be so close to downtown Athens, or maybe there'll be stuff on campus. I'm going to try to work next year. Maybe. I turn toward the window. Or, she says, and there's this shift in her voice. Maybe you can make money with your drawings. I don't think so. I'm serious. Have you ever thought about putting some of them on the internet? Just to see what happens? Abby, I'm on the internet. You have an art blog? I'll text you the link if you want. I want. She grins. Leah, this is perfect. Well, it's all fandom stuff. I don't make money off of it. She pauses for a moment. But what about taking commissions? It's funny. I've thought about it. Sometimes I even get private messages asking about it, but I've never taken the idea all that seriously. It's just hard to imagine someone could look at my shitty drawings and decide to give me real money. Or, Abby glances at me, you could set up an online store. Maybe you could upload some designs and then people could order prints and phone cases and stuff. Mm-hmm. I actually think you could make some decent money, you know? And then you could spend it on a drum kit. It would be perfect. I'm not sure why you care. Her face falls. Because I do. God. I'm such an asshole. I know I am. Abby's literally just trying to help. And her ideas aren't even that terrible. I mean, how cool would it be to make money from my art? To actually be able to buy shit for once? Maybe I could even help my mom out after I graduate. It's not like I'm opposed to what Abby is saying. I just feel like being bitchy to her. Fucked up, I know. But that's where we are. 21. When I get home, there's a Nordstrom bag on my bed. My yellow dress. I know before I even look inside. My stomach twists as soon as I see it. I FaceTime Mom at work. What the hell is this? Wow, that's not the reaction I was expecting. We can't afford this. My cheeks feel warm. I'm returning it. Leah, we're not spending $250 on a... She cuts me off. Okay, first of all, it wasn't $250. It was on sale. I don't believe you. She flips her palms up. Well, it's true. It was 10% off, and then I got another 15% for joining their email list. That's still almost $200. Lee, this isn't for you to worry about. How can I not worry about it? There's a lump forming in my throat, yet again. This is ridiculous. I'm not even a crier, but now I'm spending half my life on the verge of a breakdown. Leah, we're fine. You know that, right? She rubs the bridge of her nose. I've got all that overtime from last month, and we've got another check coming in from your dad. I don't want him paying for this. But you're okay with him paying for your cell phone? Your sketch pads? Lee, that's how child support works. Well, it's gross. Okay, you know what? He's only paying for another 2 months, and then you can be as financially independent as you want. But for now, can we just say, hey, it's done. It's paid for. He can afford it. She shakes her head. Do you have to make everything hard? Excuse me? I say. And for a moment, we just stare at each other. She exhales, shoulders sinking. Look, can we talk about this when I get home? If you want. Okay. Good. Sweetie, please don't worry about the money, okay? We're fine, I promise. I press my lips together. Leah, for real, we're good. I wouldn't have bought it if we couldn't afford it. You know that, right? Okay. I feel myself softening. I love you, okay? I'll be home at 6. I can't wait to hear about your trip. Love you too, I mutter. And thanks for the dress, I guess. She snorts. Keep playing it cool, Leah. And you're welcome. But I'm not cool. Not even close. I practically rip the garment bag open as soon as we hang up. I stare at the dress. It's as perfect as I remember. Maybe more perfect. I forgot how badass flowers can look. I slip out of my jeans and wriggle into the gown, tugging the zipper up and back. The skirt trails on the floor all the way to the bathroom. We're talking Beauty and the Beast level gliding. I fucking love it. I flip on the bathroom light and peer at my reflection. And it's sort of a miracle. I don't look like shit. The yellow of the dress makes my skin look creamy, and my hair falls in loose waves past my shoulders. Even my cheeks look apple round and flushed. Now I want to stare into the mirror until I memorize myself. I want to cast this version of me in every daydream. This is a Leah who could kick some solid ass. It's a Leah who could make out for days. When I get back to my room, my phone screen lights up with a text. I sink onto the bed, still wearing the dress. It's Anna. Are you back? I want to say no. Maybe I could disappear. Just for the rest of spring break. I could hole up in my bedroom and not talk to anyone and spend the next 4 days cycling through my ever-expanding repertoire of daydreams. Like the one where I'm drumming under a strobe light, wearing my prom dress, totally nailing it, and then Abby catches my eye from the audience, and the music slows, and she's smiling that quiet half-smile I can only assume she does because she's literally trying to wreck me. I miss you, Anna adds. Wanna do Starbucks on Friday? Yeah. So now I feel like a dick because I haven't even thought about Anna in days. I barely remembered she existed. And even though I'm mad at Morgan, Anna hasn't done anything wrong. I'm just a shitty, negligent friend. Yes, just us. She writes back with a smiley emoji. Luckily, Anna's an early bird so I can head straight to Starbucks after dropping Mom off at work. But I forgot what a shit show this place is on Friday mornings. The line for the drive-thru is so long, I can barely get into the parking lot, and I end up having to park in the lot for the gentleman's club next door. I'm 5 minutes early, but Anna's car is already here. And as soon as I step inside, I see her. Dark hair and a neat ponytail, back to the door. She's sitting across from Morgan. I'm so angry I could vomit. My stomach is actually lurching. Morgan catches my eye and murmurs something to Anna, who twists around to smile at me. She waves me over. I just stand there, staring. Anna turns back around, leans toward Morgan, presses her hand down on the table and stands. Then she walks straight toward me. Are you kidding me? I ask her. Leah, no. Come on. You guys need to talk. I can't believe you lied to me. Anna winces. I didn't lie. You said it was just us. Technically, I replied with a very ambiguous emoji. It was a smiley. That's not ambiguous. I glance over her shoulder at Morgan, who gives me a tentative smile. Yeah, no. I turn away from her quickly. You knew I didn't want to talk to her. Anna rolls her eyes. Okay, do you even realize how ridiculous you're being? It's senior year. There are 2 months left of school. Ever. And you guys have been friends since middle school. You're going to throw that away? Are you that fucking stubborn? Don't you dare act like this is my fault. God, just stop. Anna sighs. Leah, she knows she messed up. She was upset. She said something stupid. Can you please just let her apologize? Abby's the one she should be apologizing to. Well, you're the one who's upset about this. You think Abby's not upset? My cheeks are suddenly burning. I can't even say her name without blushing. Yeah, I've been wondering about that. How does Abby even know what Morgan said? Anna asks, eyes narrowing. Are you asking if I told her? Anna shrugs. Oh my God, that's seriously what you're focusing on right now? Leah, don't do this. She sighs. Can you just talk to Morgan? Please? Her voice softens. I'm really sick of being in the middle. Then stop putting yourself in the middle. Can you just stop, okay? I just want things to be normal. We don't have a lot of time left. I look at her and suddenly I'm 11 years old. A freckly mess of a sixth grader with no friends. Literally none. I'd go to school, come home, and watch TV with mom. I'd spend lunch periods reading manga in the bathroom. It was right after my dad left, so my mom was always angry or weepy. And the thing about Morgan and Anna is that they were the first people here to give a shit about me. They were my friends even before I knew Simon and Nick existed. So maybe I'm an asshole. Maybe I'm overreacting. I swear to God, someone tied a knot in my stomach. Anna shakes her head slowly. Like, what's next? Are you going to find a reason to hate me? And Nick? What about Simon? Are you going to shut us all out because you can't deal with saying goodbye? Okay, that's bullshit, and you know it. Is it? This isn't about me, I snap. Morgan said something racist, and she didn't apologize to Abby, so that's it. We're done here. I turn on my heel and storm out of Starbucks, leaving Anna standing in front of the counter with her mouth hanging open. 22. Simon texts me before I even get to my car. Can you come to Waffle House? Like, right now? I write back immediately. Eerily perfect timing, just stepping out of Starbucks. I almost wonder if he knew. Waffle House is so close, I could actually walk there. Oh, awesome. We're in the back. Come find us. My stomach drops. Us? Me and Nick, he replies. Fuck. Fuck extravaganza. God, the thought of facing Nick right now? I don't even know how I'll look him in the eye. What if he just knows? What if he can read it on my face? Guess what, Nick? Guess what I did with your ex-girlfriend, who you're still in love with? Like, this isn't some minor fuck-up. This is a straight-up friend felony. I stare at the screen of my phone, wondering how I can possibly wriggle out of this. Maybe now's the time for one of those fictional diarrhea attacks Simon's so strangely fond of. Or not. I don't know. I guess I'll have to face Nick eventually. I can be there in 5. I write back. You're the best, Simon writes. It's so warm and breezy out that I think I actually will walk. Might as well leave my car in the Gentleman's Club parking lot. Wouldn't be the first time a car parked there for hours. When I get there, they're slumped on opposite sides of a booth, picking at a single shared waffle. It's a sad fucking scene. Hey, I say, sliding in next to Simon. Nick perks up. Hey, welcome back. How was your road trip? My heart twists when he says it. Maybe one day the phrase road trip won't remind me of Abby. I tuck my legs up, cross-legged on the seat, and press my lips together. It was good. Good, he nods quickly. Hey, so I was wondering... Here we go, Simon murmurs. A waitress appears, and I order a waffle and a black coffee. all business. But as soon as she leaves, Nick launches right in. How was Abby? Like, was she sort of okay, or, I mean, I don't know. Was she acting weird? Shit. She seemed, like, was she crying? A little bit? I mean, it's true. She cried a little bit, right after I called her out, which was right after she kissed me. Whoa, okay. Nick's eyes widen. That's... okay, good to know. I leap frantically toward a subject change. So, how was your trip?
It was great,
Simon says. There's this catch in his voice. But before I can ask him what's wrong, Nick's off and running again. I just miss her, you know? Like, we haven't talked for a week. I keep almost calling her. It's completely automatic. I just... ugh. He rubs his forehead. This was a mistake, right? We shouldn't have broken up. Well, Simon says carefully, she broke up with you. It's like Nick doesn't even hear him. I should have fought for her. His voice quivers. She was the best thing that ever happened to me, and I just let her go. What was I thinking? Simon shoots me a glance. I mean, you didn't do anything wrong, I say finally. I just didn't fight hard enough. He shakes his head. I should have applied to Georgia. But you love Tufts, Simon says uncertainly. I love Abby. I feel almost dizzy. I can't quite line my thoughts up. All I know is this. Nick loves Abby. I kissed Abby. And if he knew, I don't think he'd ever be okay. He would never recover. Wait, he peers at me suddenly. Did she hook up with someone? What? She did, didn't she? Nick, Simon sighs. Just tell me. He leans forward. Who was it? Some frat bro? Fuck, I knew it. He leans back in the booth. Shit, I can't believe this. I swear to God, I might die. My stomach's twisting in 20 directions. I don't think I could speak if I tried. Come on, Simon turns to me. Abby wouldn't do that. She didn't hook up with a frat boy. Right, Leah? I nod slowly. See, everything's going to be fine. Simon leans his chin onto his hand. It's just been a confusing week. Oh? I say. Simon sits there, nodding, while Nick stares vacantly into space. Simon? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with Simon when he gets like this. Sometimes I get the vibe he wants me to read his mind, like he's sitting there, trying to pour his thoughts directly into my brain, so he won't have to say them out loud. I point my fork at him. Hey. Yeah? Spit it out. He does this quiet laugh. Okay. I hear him swallow. I think I fell in love with a school, he says finally. Okay. And it's not NYU. Right. I got that. I pause, setting my fork down. What school? Haverford? It's really tiny. That's near Philly, right? He nods and bites his lip. But Bram's going to be in New York, Nick chimes in. Simon sighs. Yep. Ah. Simon fidgets with the sugar packets. Have you talked to Bram? I ask. Nope. You should do that. I know. He pauses. Or not? I don't know. NYU was awesome, too. I'm being ridiculous, right? What do you mean? I'm needlessly complicating things. Yup, says Nick. Well, not necessarily, I shrug. What's so great about Haverford? Ugh, I don't know. Simon full-on grimaces. You'd think I'd asked him to speak fondly about calculus. I just liked it. You just liked it. I'm going to pee, Nick says, standing abruptly. Hold that thought. But Simon turns to face me. You wouldn't believe how many gay people go there. We kept running into them. Like, this one girl hosts a pride bingo night every Thursday in her dorm room. I could literally go there and only be friends with gay people. Nice. I keep imagining what it would be like to have actual gay friends. My heart twists when he says it. It's hard to explain. The guys think I'm straight, and I feel super weird about that. But also relieved. It's fucked up.
I think I'd like that, he adds. But you know they have gay people in New York, I say. Like, I'm pretty sure NYU is mega gay. I know, but those are hipster gay people. I need the nerdy gays. And Haverford has the nerdy gays? It's like 99% nerds there. That's an actual statistic. I bite back a smile. I think you found your people. Simon groans softly and covers his face. It's just... like, I felt something when I was there. Like, I got to the campus and it just felt right. It felt like it chose me. You know what I mean? The question catches me off guard, and I let my mind drift back to the past few days. Funny how the campus tour already feels so hazy. I mostly just remember the look on Abby's face when she said, maybe I'm not actually straight. I mean, she didn't seem so straight when she kissed me. I don't know, I say finally. I think it's different. Like, I already knew I'd be going to Georgia. I wasn't looking for that kind of moment. I wasn't looking for it either, he mutters. Like, what am I doing? Everything was perfect and I just had to fuck it all up. You didn't fuck anything up, Simon. My coffee and waffle arrive all at once. I start in with the syrup, a tiny drop in each square. Like, what's the worst case scenario? He blinks. We break up. Do you want to break up? He looks at me like I've smacked him in the face. Are you kidding? No. Does Bram? No, of course not. No. Then what am I missing? I ask, taking a bite of waffle. You guys will be fine. This is ridiculous. I should go to NYU. That's the plan. I don't know why this is even a question. Simon shakes his head quickly. I should go to NYU, right? Sure. Unless you like nerdy gay Wonderland better. He groans. You're no help. I mean, how far is Philly from New York? Like an hour and a half by train, he says immediately. Clearly, he's researched this. A little shorter if I take the Acela. That's not that bad, Simon. I know, but... he frowns. It's still long distance. And you don't want to be in a long-distance relationship. I mean, I don't mind it, in theory. I just don't know if they ever work. Tons of people make them work. Yeah, but look at Nick and Abby. He gestures vaguely toward the bathroom. That's a freaking mess. My heart almost stops. People need to warn me if they're going to mention her out of nowhere like that. Especially if they're going to talk about her and Nick being a freaking mess. But Jesus Christ. I need to stop. I stab my waffle with my fork and shove it into my mouth. This is absurd. Literally absurd. As if Abby Suso, real-life Disney princess, is going to run straight into my arms. Even if she did, I couldn't do that to Nick. Not that she would. I mean, she's not even really bi. But she's questioning things. I make her question things. Are you okay? Simon asks, peering nervously through his glasses. What? I whip my head up. I'm fine. Why? Are you okay? Okay, you're acting super weird. No, I'm not. He raises his eyebrows. We stare each other down. You're acting weird, I mutter, looking away finally. I know. He covers his face. I just need to think about this. I think you should talk to Bram. When are you seeing him? Not until the game tomorrow. The soccer game? Simon nods. Then talk to him right afterward. He sighs. I don't know. Simon, you'll feel better, I swear. That's right, Simon. Be totally open and tell him everything that's bothering you, okay? You should definitely take my advice because I'm just so fucking good at all the sharing and caring stuff myself. Feelings. I rule at them. Okay, I'll do it. But you have to come with me to the game and psych me up for it. You guys are coming to the game? Nick says, reappearing at the end of the booth. Sweet. I glance at Simon. I guess so. Yes. Good. That's good. Simon nods quickly. Then he stuffs a bunch of waffle into his mouth, cheeks puffing out like a hamster. 23. Saturday's game is in the soccer field behind the auxiliary gym. I spot Simon as soon as I get there, brooding in the stands. I scoot up next to him. How are you feeling? I don't want to tell him, he blurts.
Okay, I seriously don't get couples. I'm sorry, but all this moping over an hour on the Acela? It's not ideal, I get that, but Simon's acting like it's apocalyptical.
He sighs. It's just... I'm kind of freaking out. This is literally why Nick and Abby broke up, you know? This is different.
But how? How is it different?
He looks at me, almost beseechingly.
It's so different. My thoughts are spinning in all directions. I need to cool my jets and focus.
It's not even close to the same situation, Simon. Nick's going to be in Boston.
It just sucks, Simon says, staring straight ahead. I follow his gaze, taking in the freshly mowed fields and soccer goals and boys. So many boys. There are literally hundreds of boys at the school, and even more at the University of Georgia. It would be so easy to fall for one of them. Easier and much safer than falling for Abby Suso.
Is Nick okay? I ask after a moment.
Yeah, I guess, Simon says. And then he grabs my hand and squeezes it. And it's weird how perfect it feels, holding hands with Simon. Not a hint of romance. It just feels like home.
Now he's saying he wants to keep things normal, Simon says. Like he doesn't want us to change the plans for prom or anything.
Oh, God.
Prom, I say.
It's in a week.
Literally 1 week from today.
I forgot about that.
I know.
They're not... still going together.
Simon shakes his head. They're both still going to dinner and the dance, but now they're going stag.
Going stag? Do people still say that?
He laughs.
I don't know.
I turn to watch the field in time to see Nick kick the shit out of the ball, so forcefully I almost wince. His face is bright red, eyes burning with an intensity I've never seen before. The coach nods from the sidelines, clapping slowly. I turn to Simon, eyebrows raised.
Are we sure he's okay?
This is not good, Simon murmurs. But a minute later, the corners of his lips tug upward. His Bram face. And sure enough, Bram's on the field, grinning up at Simon as he runs.
Eye on the ball, Greenfeld, the coach yells. And Laughlin, focus! God damn it!
I look up to see Garrett waving at me frantically with both arms.
Hello, Garrett, I mutter, rolling my eyes.
Simon laughs. I have to admit, I like the feeling of being pursued, even if it's only Garrett. It just feels nice. And maybe nice is kind of refreshing. Abby Suso makes me feel all kinds of things, but nice isn't one of them.
Stop thinking about Abby. Jesus Christ.
This is just so weird, Simon sighs.
And it is. I mean, here's a surprise. I have an actual date to prom, and Abby Suso's going alone.
I don't know if I should text her.
I mean, it's not like we're fighting.
And it doesn't have to be weird. It was just a kiss.
And I'm sure it only happened because she was tipsy. I should just send her something friendly and casual, because we're casual friends who send casual texts. It's just that every time I try to type something, my brain shuts down completely. I can't even type hello to this girl without bursting into flames. I'm pretty sure this is the kind of crush you can die from. I try to distract myself by stalking my own Tumblr, scrolling through my posts in reverse order. The further back I go, the shittier my drawings get. Proportions all wrong, messed up shading. I guess I should be glad I've improved, but I feel weirdly embarrassed about the older work. I wish I had the kind of talent that emerged fully formed. I don't like people seeing me in progress. It's like stepping off a stage and finding out your underwear was showing. Not that my metaphorical underwear is particularly well hidden now. I still see flaws in my work, everywhere I look. It's exhausting and mortifying and almost unbearable. Except, okay, I have yet another message from an Anon asking if I take commissions. I like your art so much, I'm so in love with it, it says. So in love, they'd pay me for it. They're asking to pay me for it. I think of the drum kit I don't have. The car we couldn't afford to fix. I think of my $250 prom dress. I think of Abby. But I can't take commissions because what if I draw the thing and it's a steaming pile of shit?
What if they ask for their money back? Or what if I post my commission rates and people just fall over laughing? What if no one ever contacts me? Maybe this Anon is actually just trolling me. Maybe it's like the dudes in teen movies who pretend to ask the nerdy girl to prom. My mouth goes dry. It's hard to explain. Maybe I should delete my whole Tumblr account. Except, I don't know. I'm curious. Which doesn't mean I'm doing this. It doesn't mean anything at all. 24. I step off the bus on Monday, and Garrett pops out of the stairwell like a jack-in-the-box. Burke! I jump. Jesus, Garrett! So, guess what? He says. I narrow my eyes. What? I'm mad at you. Why? He smiles and ruffles his hair. You disappeared before the game ended. Again. Why do you always do that? Because? My mind goes blank. I mean, not blank, exactly, but it's definitely not giving me anything useful to work with. Because. Because Abby kissed me. Because she may not be straight. Which means I had to update every single one of my daydreams to reflect this. We're talking about a massive overhaul, Garrett. I don't think you realize how many Abby-related fantasies live in this brain. This was the most boring spring break ever, Garrett says. Now he's walking beside me, matching my pace. You should have stayed home to entertain me. Entertain you? I side-eye him. Well, Burke, I didn't mean it like that, he says, nudging me. But now that you mention it... Then he winks at me. So, yeah, we're done here. I'll see you at lunch, Garrett, I say, patting him once on the arm before veering down a side hall. I made dinner reservations, he calls after me, for prom. I give him a thumbs up over my shoulder. What a fucking slightly adorable doofus. I haven't talked to Abby since I stepped out of her car on Wednesday. And when I realize that, it throws me. It doesn't feel like it's been that long. But then again, I've thought about her approximately 10 billion times a day. All morning, I feel like I'm quietly buzzing. I don't have any classes with Abby until the afternoon. But there's lunch. At noon. In 6.5 minutes. I can't stop staring at the clock. Bram's already at the table when I get there, and I take a seat beside him, facing the door. It occurs to me that I have no idea whether Simon talked to him. So, that's awkward. Hey, Bram, your boyfriend might move to Philly, and he told me first. And then it actually hits me. Simon told me first. And if I'm being totally honest, I'm sort of gleeful about that. No one ever picks me first. But he did. I feel the sudden wave of affection for Simon. I think he might be the best friend I've ever had. And maybe I should actually come out to him. Tell him I'm bi. I can picture it perfectly. I think he'll laugh when I tell him. Not in a douchey way. I just think he'll be happy. What are you smiling about? Bram asks. I shrug and look away. And then I see her in the doorway. Understated Abby, goddess of restraint. Jeans and a long cardigan and glasses. I literally just spent 2 nights with her, and I had no idea she wore glasses. Of course she looks amazing in them. Then she smiles at me slightly, and I can barely look at her. I literally can't remember if I'm supposed to be mad at her. She does a come-over-here gesture, and first I whip my head around to see who she's talking to. Yes, you, she mouths, grinning. I get it from the table, just as Simon's sitting down. Abby's waiting in the hall, outside the doorway. Hi, she says, smiling tentatively. Hey. I can't sit there. Because of Nick? She shrugs. It just seems mean. For a moment, neither of us speaks. We just stand against the wall, watching the juniors stream into the cafeteria in clusters. Abby's foot taps on the molding, and there's this look in her eyes that I've never seen before. I can't decipher it. So, we really need to talk, Abby says, finally. You and Nick? No. She rolls her eyes, smiling. You and me. My heart flips. Okay. Are you free after school this week? What day? Any day. Want to say Friday? Abby pauses. I just need to... But then she stops talking abruptly, leaning almost imperceptibly away from me. I look up, and there's Garrett. Hey, ladies. The Daily Cringe, starring Garrett Laughlin. Today's episode, Garrett missed the memo about not calling women ladies. I was just filling everyone in on dinner plans for prom. We have a 6 o'clock reservation at the American Grill Bistro at North Point Mall. It's about 20 minutes from the Nature Center. I love that prom's at the Nature Center, says Abby. It suits us. Because we're so naturally awesome? Garrett asks. Because our classmates are literally wildlife, says Abby. Garrett actually giggles, and I shake my head, smiling. Anyway, I should go, Abby says quickly, looking from Garrett to me. But, she nudges my foot with her toe. Friday afternoon. I'll find you. She flashes a quick smile and drifts back down the hallway. Then she turns a corner and disappears. 25. And of course, I'm a hot mess for the rest of the day. I'm so far gone, it's not even funny. My head is just mush. Actual mush. And it would be one thing if it only happened in Abby's physical presence, but it's way beyond that. It's everything I do and everywhere I go. People try to talk to me, and I don't even hear them. Simon intercepts me on my way to the buses. Come on, I'm driving you home. You don't have to do that. It's not a question. Let's go. He hooks his arm around my shoulders and turns me toward the parking lot. Then he walks me the whole way there, like I'm a frail, stumbling great-grandmother. You're ridiculous, I inform him. He opens the passenger door for me. Are you going to click my seatbelt for me, too? I add. Very funny. So, where's Nora? I ask when he finally slides into the driver's seat. Funny you should ask. Funny how? Well, by funny, he explains, I mean not at all funny. Ah. He backs slowly out of his parking spot, lips pressed together. Is everything okay? I say after a moment. What? Oh, yeah. I'm just... He shakes his head. Did you know she's going to prom? Nora? Simon nods. Oh. With Cal? He stops at a light, turning to me incredulously. You knew about it? No, but they were pretty flirty during the play. No, they weren't. I would have noticed. I always notice this stuff. I snort out loud, and he narrows his eyes. What? Nothing. Humph. So, are they dating? I ask. He sighs. I don't know. Want me to ask her? I'll ask. I don't care. It's just weird, right? He says, nodding earnestly. He liked me. And you have a boyfriend. Which, speaking of, have you talked to Bram yet? No, but I will. And, Leah, God, you know I'm not jealous, right? I'm just saying, it's weird. I don't think it's weird at all. You and Nora look a lot alike. Simon smacks the steering wheel. That's why it's weird. The dude has a type. I don't like it. I think you just don't like the idea of your little sister hooking up with someone. They're not hooking up. I shake my head, smiling. But she keeps staying after school with him for yearbook, and now he's giving her a ride home, like, every day. AKA, they're hooking up. Simon huffs. No, they're not. He turns onto Roswell Road, and for the next 5 minutes, we drive in silence. I don't say a single word until he pulls into my driveway. Seriously, are you okay? I ask finally. What? Yeah. You need to talk to Bram. I know. Like, now. Today. He nods slowly, jaw clenched. This is stupid. I should just turn in my deposit for NYU, right? Simon, I can't make this decision for you. I shake my head. Then I grab his hand and tug it. All right. Come on. You want me to come in? His brow furrows. Yep. Yeah. Simon nods quickly. Wow, I don't think I've actually been inside your house in years. I'm aware, I say, feeling stupidly self-conscious. It's not a secret that I'm not rich. And Simon's not going to judge me for having a small house, or clutter, or crappy second-hand IKEA furniture. But I'm just weird about having people over. It's like I can't help but be acutely aware of the stains on the carpet and my mismatched bedding, or even just the fact that my whole room is the size of Simon's closet. We walk in through the garage, and he follows me down the hall. I can't even remember what your room looks like, he says, It's really small, just warning you. Then I open the door and step into my room. Simon lingers in the doorway.
This is amazing, he says softly.
I look at him to see if he's kidding. Did you draw all of these? He walks toward the wall, peering closely at one of my sketches.
Some of them.
Some are from the internet. My walls are covered with art. Pencil sketches and carefully inked character portraits and chibis and yaoi. If I fall in love with something on DeviantArt, I print it. Or sometimes Morgan and Anna print them and give them to me. And I guess lately, more and more of them are mine. My Harry and Draco sketches, Haruka and Michiru, my original characters, and the picture I drew of Abby and me at Morgan's house. I hope to God Simon doesn't notice that.
This room is so you, he says, smiling.
I guess. He flops backward onto my bed. That's the thing about Simon. He feels totally at home wherever he goes. I stretch out beside him, and we both stare at my ceiling fan. Then Simon covers his face and sighs.
Hey,
I say.
Hey,
I know you're worried. He sniffs and turns his head to look at me. There's a tear streaking down his cheek, sliding out from under his glasses. He wipes it away with the heel of his hand.
I just don't like goodbyes.
I know.
I don't want to leave him, or you, or Abby, or any of you guys.
His voice catches.
I don't know anyone in Philly. I don't know how people do this.
I feel my throat start to tighten. I think I'm even going to miss Taylor. Okay, now you've lost me. He laughs and sniffs again.
Come on. You know you'll miss her.
How are we going to know if her metabolism is still rocking? Probably from her daily Instagram updates?
Okay, that's true.
And that's a conservative estimate.
I know.
He scoots toward me, so close our heads are touching. Then he sighs quietly into my ear, ruffling my hair with his breath. I don't think I've ever loved him more. We just lie there like that, watching the fan move in circles.
I should tell him.
Right now. I don't think there's ever been a moment in history that was more perfect for coming out. But I don't.
It's the weirdest thing. I'm lying in a room with my gay best friend, who's 100% likely to be completely fucking cool about this.
Literally risk-free.
But it's like the words won't come.
26. And then there's the issue of Nick. Despite his Waffle House meltdown, he's totally normal on Monday and Tuesday. So normal, it's almost concerning. But on Wednesday afternoon, he skids straight off the edge. I'm heading toward the buses when I hear, unmistakably, Nick's voice over the intercom. Simon Spear and Leah Burke, please report to the atrium immediately. I stop in my tracks, staring at the loudspeaker. I repeat, Simon and Leah, report to the atrium immediately. I have no clue what he's playing at, but I head up there anyway. I catch Simon in the stairwell.
What's this about? He asks.
I shake my head slowly.
No idea.
I follow Simon upstairs and into the atrium. It's teeming with people, laughing, jostling, and streaming out to the parking lot. But Nick isn't anywhere. I mean, I guess he must be somewhere. To be honest, he's probably suspended by now, because we definitely aren't allowed to use the intercom.
Do you think he's pranking us?
Asks Simon. I mean, I tilt my head. If he is, I don't get it. But moments later, he bursts out of the front office, looking wild-eyed and disheveled.
Hey, you're here.
Cool, cool. Simon peers at his face.
Are you okay?
What? Totally. He nods quickly.
Totally.
For a moment, no one speaks.
So, what's going on?
I ask finally. Nick's eyes scan the room. And then he pauses.
Are you guys free right now?
I am, Simon nods.
Okay, good.
Because I need you, he points at me, and you, he points at Simon, and me, to go to my house and eat shitty food and play video games. Just like old times. No Abby. No Bram, no Garrett.
Okay, Garrett and I aren't...
He cuts me off.
Just us.
The original trio.
Just us.
Simon echoes.
Okay, let me text Nora.
If you can give me a ride, I'll leave her the car.
Excellent, says Nick, clamping a hand on each of our shoulders.
Simon's eyes flick toward me nervously. None of us speaks as we drift through the parking lot, The sky is dark and gloomy, with gray clouds hanging low.